Now that we've wasted that 10 seconds of banter that I thought we were recording, I'm not going to try to recreate it because the moment's completely fucking gone.
It's really easy. Watch. Huh?
What?
How comfortable is your back
right now? Oh, it's very comfortable.
Bam! Recreated, motherfucker!
It's not the same. Not the same. Now, the question that I probably should have asked before I took off my pants like you asked, is why are there rubber gloves on your desk?
How well do you know your body? Well, or Firefly. But we'll start with your body.
We're, you know, not on the best of terms.
I didn't ask you how you're doing. I just want to know how well you know your body. It's Mike. I figured maybe it's time for a little self-exploration.
Well, then why are you putting the gloves on, Mike? Why are you putting the gloves on?
I am an extension of you for the purposes of this experiment. Pardon me. Just got to get it to... there we go.
Oh.
No, those actually came in the Firefly loot crate this month.
Ah, okay. So I'm relieved because that means you're not going to soil them by doing anything to me.
They're just cheap blue rubber gloves. I mean, there's no reason not to soil them. Yeah, do you remember the 2x2 hands of blue?
No.
Yeah,
it's been a long time since I've seen the episodes here.
Before the agent, before Chewit E4, or however you say it, was like the super badass in the movie. The bad guys that were kind of recurring, that were kind of scary, were the Hands of Blue guys. So they worked for Blue Sun, the company. Mm-hmm. They were the ones that did everything to River.
Oh, okay.
So they were these like really creepy, like assassin-y guys who had all this technology that could just like melt your brain. And they always wore blue rubber gloves. And there you go.
There we go.
And I feel like they just, like, it was late this month, so I feel like someone was just like, you know what we should do? We should give them blue rubber gloves. Make it up to those stupid geeky fanboys and girls. Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are?
S. Michael Smith. You are?
Tired. Oh, M. Michael Carassi.
Yeah. And this is a perfect ginger.
It's a perfect ginger. I didn't have ginger bitters, unfortunately. That was the one thing missing.
Wow, that would have been...
really gingery.
That would have been really gingery. I don't know. I don't know if I could go with that.
You like it? It's pretty drinkable.
Yeah. It's
pretty gingery.
It's like a mule with more flavor.
Mm. It's a mule you drink when you are about to get into trouble.
Mm.
Not the mule that you drink when you're just, you know, sitting around sipping something in the cold Siberian winter.
Yeah, I like it. Mule-ish, dark and stormy-ish, but
yeah, it's their cousin.
Yeah.
It's their weird, their perfect cousin. Awkward, perfect cousin. It's like, you want to bang your cousin, but you know you shouldn't, but... Such a hot cousin. Wait, what are we talking about?
And she's adopted, so, you know, it's really okay.
That's like five times removed at that point. Look, all I'm saying is in some states, it's totally legal.
And on that note, I guess that brings us to Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's funny. I thought we were going to Charlottesville.
No, as we know, I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Yes.
But I know there's some sort of incest thing in it.
Yeah. Spoilers. It's been around since the first episode. And also in the books that have been around for, I don't know, like decades at this point.
So, the internet is a little bit buzzy this morning.
Okay, hold on. So if you're listening to this,
right.
Today is the 14th of August. So, the... episode after the loot train attack has just aired last night. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't seen the episode after the loot train attack, which is the lamest name ever, but you should know exactly what I'm talking about, then you should not listen to this. But when this airs, this will be like, it'll be two episodes old.
Okay.
The episode of Game of Thrones.
Sure.
I got really confused doing that math. So the internet's buzzy.
So as I understand it, and again, I don't watch it. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what's going on.
Because you're afraid of Time Warner.
Yeah. Also, the more I read about it, the more I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. This doesn't necessarily sound like something I'd be into.
Because you're a fool, Jon Snow.
So, as I understand it, the episode previously, the previous week's episode, was
the loot
amazing.
Train. Yes. In a breaks a lot of its own rules kind of way.
And lots of things happening.
Oh, yeah.
That people have been waiting to see happen.
You know how that movie Knights of Badassdom was awful? but the name yes. was really cool.
Yeah.
This is kind of what that should have been. Because there were knights, and there were some motherfucking dragons, and there was a lot of badassdom.
All right. Well, good. Now, as I understand it, again, just from, you know, picking up on little bits around the internet.
Lurking on the internet, as you do.
And this shit is unavoidable out there. Mm-hmm. You can't internet and not run into mm-hmm. Game of Thrones stuff. Mm-hmm. But as I understand it, the last episode was crap.
No.
No? Wasn't crap? Crap. Wasn't, like, really stupid and...
No, people are fucking infantile with their expectations. You can't have every episode be a crazy high point. What show can do that? That's idiotic. If you think that, fuck you. Fuck you, internet. No, that's so stupid. Where are you? Are you on 4chan? You're probably on 4chan reading this nonsense.
I'm on 4chan.
You're on Reddit.
Discuss.
Discuss. I don't know how to spell discuss on discuss.
So I read some people saying that the show was that jumped the shark in the last episode.
In last night's episode?
Yeah.
So I know why they're saying that. There is the thing that is very subtle in the books, so that both Erica and I and Ben, who made us aware of it later, we all missed it in the books. It's super subtle. But you're kind of meant to wonder who, and I'm just going to say the name of the character, but I know what might not mean it much to you, mm-hmm. but you're supposed to wonder who Jon Snow's mother is,
because mm-hmm.
he's the bastard of Ned course. Stark. Right, obviously.
And I've always wondered that.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's because the last thing that Sean Bean says to him before he fucks off and dies in the first season, episode 5, spoiler alert, 6 years ago, he's like, oh, I'm going to tell you who your mother is. And then he dies. And he's the only one who knew. Until magic. But, so you're supposed to kind of wonder about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty low key in the books, although there is a ton of clues that are very, because George R. R. Martin's very good about sprinkling, like very subtly.
Mm-hmm.
So people figured it out. He admitted that they figured it out, but the show's being way more in your face. So everyone who knows the R plus L equals J theory of who Jon Snow's parents are, like, has been watching and being teased by the showrunners. And they're getting kind of ridiculous now with it. So if you know who the lineage is, it's constantly being referenced, but in these really ridiculous ways on the show.
Okay.
So, like, there was a scene where one character was reading an old book to her boyfriend, and she's like, oh, this old Septon's like a priest. He counted all the steps in his keep, and he counted all the windows, and, oh, he annulled this marriage that so-and-so married... And is about to say exactly what everyone's been waiting for them to say on the show. And then her boyfriend just starts ranting about work. And it's like, ah. So there has been a lot. There was, like, I think 3 moments of that.
So the joke's getting a little old now.
It is getting old. It's getting a little old. And it's, I guess they're trying to get to the point where only the complete foggiest of the viewers won't put it together on their own. But it's been a running thing for seasons now. Where they're just like, oh, if you know what to look for, it's really obvious. So I guess there's that. I would say, if you're going to talk about jumping the shark, the previous episode, I saw a really funny text. So in the big episode that everyone was like, you know, I went nuts for because it was yeah. awesome. It's like all the kick gloves come off and the big fight that you've been waiting for, one of them happens. Mm-hmm. Where the dragons actually get involved in something because they're kind of doing their own thing.
And why have dragons if you're not going to have them, like, kill people?
That's basically what everyone keeps saying on the show as well as off. And so, like, the shit gets crazy, and one of the incest people, we'll call them incest people, one of them, like, does a full-blown, like, I'm gonna run this person down, even though there's a dragon between the two of us. And he's running full gallop on a horse mm-hmm. on the beach. So
the horse is running. He's just riding.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Okay. Full tilt, the horse. Point is, the horse is running in water, so you have to assume that the water's not that deep.
Right.
Right? Because horse running.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, like, narrowly gets, you know, kind of saved by a buddy who sort of tackles him off the horse at the last second.
Mm-hmm.
And then they fall into, like, 50 feet of deep water. And I saw the great, like, text.
So they were running along apparently a very shallow trail.
Right.
a shallow trail going through a very deep body of water.
Yeah, it was like the fucking one part of the, I don't know, the Great Barrier Reef where it just drops off.
Yeah.
But I saw a really funny tweet where it was like, why the fuck Is it when he's on a horse, he's on the beach, and then when his buddy tackles him, he's in the fucking Mariana Trench? Because it's just like, that was a little ridiculous. And what they're doing is they've always been so careful about saying, like, hey, this is the opposite end of the kingdom, so it takes a character like 3 episodes to get there. And now everyone's teleporting. Like, all of a sudden this season, because they're upping the pace so much, it's like, oh, you know what would be really cool? If we had this entire army and a half meet this army. Oh, they're in different parts of the... Oh, who cares? Magic. Don't even talk about it. No one's going to notice it. Yeah, so now characters are fucking teleporting everywhere. So, yeah, to some extent, there's been some shark jumping. But it's awesome shark jumping.
All right.
It's like, more like shark riding. Because that would be more awesome. What's more awesome, Smike? Jumping a shark or riding a shark?
Probably, I have to... Yeah, you're right. It's riding.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
That's what Game of Thrones is doing. It's riding. It's riding the shark.
Okay.
And we're just trying to coin phrases every episode. Did you talk to Dre at all?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
I'm such a hermit. I'm like the complete opposite of her on Facebook.
Yeah, you lurk. Yeah. You're like Arya Stark.
I occasionally lurk, and she just is prolifically posting.
Yeah, she posts a lot. Now that I'm friends with her on Facebook, it's like, wow, they were not kidding about her posting like 10 to 15 times a day.
Yeah.
Good on her. I wish I had that much of anything even remotely interesting to say. I don't.
All right, so what else were we going to talk about? Now the Game of Thrones is out of the way.
Well, we hit that. Well, I mean, kind of a big weekend.
I'm always afraid, and justifiably so, that whatever political or current event thing that we discuss is going to be just completely irrelevant by the time that this actually airs.
If this weekend...
Because right now, I mean, whatever we talk about, Trump could be impeached by the time this is airing, and it'll be pointless to even mention any of this.
You know what? That's a risk I'd be willing to take.
It's possible.
I would fucking love that, man. Damn, that would be awesome.
Well.
I used to be like, no, Pence is worse. No, fuck that. Get that motherfucker out of there. Russian motherfucking grumble.
And any ridiculous thing, I can't believe Trump did this or said this, it's just going to be irrelevant and outdone and... people cared about that 2 weeks ago. I can't believe that.
How compared quaint. To what?
Yeah, how quaint. Exactly.
Well, but
exactly.
It isn't even Trump in this case. It's like the protest. I mean, even before the tragedy that, you know, what precipitated it was ridiculous.
All right. So we're diving into this. We're diving in.
I guess.
This is the protest that happened in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Well, okay. I'll offer this. How about this?
Okay.
Maybe the readers are beleaguered at this point. Do we have anything original to say about it? Because if not, I mean, why make my...
Yeah, the only thing I really want to say is I think I would like to think, maybe I hope, that the events, as terrible as they were, might somehow be... it might mark some sort of turning point. But I don't know if it's going to be a turning point for the better or for the worse. But it feels like it was a significant
moment. Yeah,
and that things aren't going to be the same after that.
It's a nexus point that, yeah, you can't go back from.
Yeah. This is a, yeah.
So.
And they can, I think it can go two ways. It can either.
I think it can go more
it can
than
either
two
be,
ways, but...
Well, I think I'm going with two ways. And one way could be a kind of a return, a beginning of a return to more normal times.
Man, that's a weird word.
And it's, I know. But one of the things that we see is one of the significant things that we see out of this is there have been some people who have been identified as being parts of the Nazi / KKK / white supremacist / whatever,
what have you,
assholes.
Just yeah. Assholes, racist assholes.
People who have been like, their picture has been up on websites or even on like big, like New York Times pictures, mm-hmm. as like, this is the face of racism.
Yeah.
And I mean, these are real people. And there's one guy who's, it's like, it's a really strong picture of him, like, looking fierce and holding a torch and shouting. And they identified him. I don't know if the papers identified him, but somebody identified him. And, you know, that went out on Twitter, of course. As soon as you're identified, it goes out everywhere now.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next day, you know, this guy's coming on the news shows and saying, I am really not the angry racist that picture makes me look like. That picture
clearly shows me.
Yes. And one thing, do you need, I feel like he needs to qualify racist with the word angry. I might really be the racist in that picture,
but I'm not but actually I'm not that angry.
Always that angry. So
just when I'm being racist.
Yeah.
But they're not the same thing.
And I think this has happened to more than one person, and people are who these people are losing jobs. It's happened to at least a couple of people who've been like identified. Yeah, that was you. You were there. You were doing this. You were part of this. The protest, not the counter protest, but
the protest.
Yeah,
because that's what you have to remember.
You were part of the asshole protest,
right? There was the protest, and it never the actual scheduled protest never happened.
Right.
It got out of hand before they even got to that point.
Yeah, and part of it was because these assholes with torches were going out the night before and marching through town.
Well, and the judge he sided with the assholes because they wanted Emancipation Park, and the city knew it was going to be a problem, containment-wise, so they wanted a bigger park.
Yep, they tried to move them, and they sued to not have that happen, and they won, and then things went down pretty much like
the city said.
The city was saying, we don't want this to happen. Anyway, this is why I bring up the people getting recognized.
Well, I want to dive into that, but go ahead.
Called out is that this is for a lot of people. I think this is the first time where they're actually seeing these are racists, these are white supremacists, these are Nazis in no uncertain terms.
Dyed in the wool, undeniably.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Marching with Confederate flags.
Shields.
Marching with swastikas and, like, this is them. This is the guy. This is, they're really real. You know, these aren't just, like, the imaginary boogeymen that the left has been conjuring up in your, you know, to make you be afraid. they're right there, and they're walking right through the fucking
and a lot of them
town.
Are fully armed,
and they're carrying guns and
like not small guns either.
Yeah,
big racist killing guns.
And one direction this could go is that this could be, I hate to use the cliche term, wake up call to much of America who's like kind of dismissed this stuff up to now. To see, oh shit, we have Nazis, you know, like you like having ants, you know, like now I see we do have ants. I see them right there. They're
ants
in the kitchen.
They're undeniably ants.
We
in
have
my
ants.
Kitchen. Yeah.
I mean, I know that somebody told me that I probably had ants because you know they saw like tracks from them or you know little signs that they were ants, but I didn't want to believe I had ants.
And those people see ants everywhere.
Yeah,
so.
Some people are just. Maybe this person is just trying to sell me ant fog.
Yeah.
And I don't want to believe I have ants. Nobody wants to have ants.
Not me, not ants.
But now I fucking see them. They're marching in a line back and forth.
They're fully armed.
They're fully armed, carrying rifles.
And wearing swastikas.
And shouting obscenities and racist epithets and. I have ants. I have fucking Nazis in my kitchen. What am I going to do? I got to do something. Nobody wants to have Nazis in their kitchen.
I'm not sure that's true, actually.
Okay. Well, most people.
I think Nazis want Nazis in their kitchen. But well, all right. Yeah. Okay.
But see, that's my one possible situation. One possible outcome of this.
Well, you said that it can go one of two ways. So what's the other way?
I mean, just fucking all-out war between, you know, the other direction is that all the other ants are now seeing this. Hey, that's us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
We're on TV. Fuck it. We killed somebody. Yeah. We can just mow people down.
Not only did we kill someone.
Cars make awesome weapons.
Not only did we kill someone, but then we went on the Daily Stormer and said that she was a number of pretty horrible things.
Yeah.
On top of that. Like really going that step beyond anything even remotely human or rational.
Yeah. So, yes, the other direction is that a small but not insignificant portion of the country sees this as a rallying moment where, yeah, this is, I need to be out there, you know, with my gun.
Why are those mutually exclusive? I actually see them being very likely the same thing.
Maybe they're not. In one situation, in the first scenario, which I kind of hope is what happens, the return to normalcy is the rest of society saying, or American society saying, no, we don't answer fucking awful, and we're going to fucking get rid of you. If we see you again, we're just going to, I mean, not kill you, but,
But I'm very curious what get rid of you
I don't want
means.
To have ants.
Okay, but what does that mean?
In realistic terms.
Yeah, realistic
not,
terms.
I'm not saying that we should go out and kill all the Nazis.
No, I'm not saying you're saying that. Although we just need Indiana Jones because he's really fucking good at it. If anyone's gonna kill Nazi, Hellboy and Indiana Jones would take care of this problem. Done.
But because of, if there's enough pressure from the rest of society, the rest of America, these horrible, awful people will go back into the shadows and say, "I don't want to get stepped on, metaphorically."
By Das Boot?
Yeah, like these people who are being exposed, who are having their their identities tweeted out after they've been seen marching and are having their lives ruined. And, you know, maybe being an openly racist person isn't such a good idea anymore. That's the best case scenario.
Okay.
Is it, yeah, making this a, you know, a point where people say, oh, no, fuck you, Nazis. And the Nazis are like, I'm not going to be a Nazi anymore. Not in public anyway.
So, okay. I think that's really naive.
Said it's a hope.
I know. It's my opinion.
All right.
I think it's naive to say tooth it's going to go one of two ways. And I know you don't really think that, but that's what you said. So I'm going to pick on it. We've talked about racist ideology in the past on this podcast, and studying, you know, studying sociology and getting a degree in it in school,
mm-hmm.
It became very apparent to me that to rid oneself or a society of racism takes a tremendous amount of concentrated effort
mm-hmm.
over a long period of time, and it takes many more generations than people think.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go away in two generations. Our country is infinitely more racist than I think the average person realizes. Still to this day. And, I mean, it's easy to say, well, Nazis are bad, because obviously Nazis are bad. White supremacists, it's really easy to say
that. It's horrible that we have to say this.
Not denying that. But it's way more systemicized than that, if that's a word. I mean, we've been seeing what's been happening with racially motivated slayings by police for some time. And it's starting to get attention, but it's been happening for a very long time. We were blown away when we watched the OJ documentary, not the the miniseries, but mm-hmm. the actual documentary,
mm-hmm.
Because they outlined all of the racially motivated like clashes with the police leading up to that.
Mm-hmm.
Leading up to the riot, and we had no idea how many there were. And I guess they were well known at the time, but, you know, we were kids at that point, my wife and I.
Right.
But this is not something that is new at all.
Right.
Right?
What is not? So just general racism is not.
Racism being in the open is not new. It has been in the open for some time. Now, I agree with you that people have had blinders on. Absolutely agree with you on that. But what is it? What has been done that's made a lasting change? You know what I mean? That hasn't been undone. So think about it. We had a fairly progressive president for 8 years.
Yeah.
And then now we have a president who's trying to undo I said fairly.
Yeah.
And now we have a president who's like trying to undo that. Oh, body cameras. No, no body cameras. Like, when your progress rests in the hands of like one person, that's not progress, in my opinion. You know what I mean? When like what we choose to acknowledge can be just like either focused on or ignored, that's not progress. So it's one thing. Now, then here's a question just to put, I actually been thinking a lot about this all, you know, since this weekend. The role of shame, shaming a racist, shaming mm-hmm. a white supremacist.
And that was, you know, that was what I was
right.
going at.
So, I mean, that can play out quite a few ways, and not all of them are going to go well.
Mm-hmm.
Because shame can also galvanize. If you shame, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't, don't get me wrong. I put on Facebook, I really would like to see California's hate crime registry become a thing, and we treat all people convicted of hate crimes the same exact way we treat them as pedophiles. Hey, I just got an email. We have a hate crime person in our neighborhood, so let's be sure to treat them like shit. Right? I'm all for that.
I don't know if that's the... Anyway.
Well, how far do you go? But as much as that makes us feel better, because obviously that person's shit, right? You also run the risk of galvanizing and saying all these people who are not good people. I think most people would agree on that. So let's just take the group in Charlottesville who were protesting. By and large, not great people. They have some pretty shitty beliefs.
Right? They have shitty beliefs.
Very yes. hard to defend them in any way, shape, or form.
They might be wonderful in some ways, but they have really shitty beliefs that are terrible.
I honestly, because I am not religious at all, I have a pretty firm set belief at this point that you can't be wonderful anyway if you're that like hateful. Like I think it poisons the shit out of you. Like it just rots you out from the inside. I really believe that. So like
I am having trouble coming up with an argument to that.
What am I doing? I'm like preaching to the choir, shouting to the masses who are all on the same page as me, right? So that's a very stupid point and I'm kind of speaking from, and I acknowledge that.
Anyway, moving on.
My point is, it's very easy for leftward leaning people to want to shame because it is an intellectual thing to do. But the problem is, and I think we saw this with Trump supporters too, when you try to shame from an intellectual moral high ground, you run the risk of galvanizing, of mobilizing, and of like bringing together the people you're shaming in such a way that they find solace and strength in each other. And that's a dangerous fucking thing. So that's why I think it's a little naive to be like, oh, well, Granny's going to say, oh, there are Nazis and shame on you. What is that really going to do? Because we know that we've known in the back of our minds this shit's going on for a while.
I disagree.
Okay.
Because, and this I don't care how this sounds. Most of these people are cowardly.
Okay.
They are much less likely to go public with these opinions if they have something at stake, if they have more to fear. And the problem has been over the last not quite year, like half a year, maybe a year. Yeah. If we go back to the campaign,
yeah.
That they have had less reason to fear any sort of reprisal or any sort of significant criticism. They've been more and more accepted. They've been appearing on TV shows and being mm-hmm. interviewed by people in the news. And the word that has been used quite a lot is normalized.
Mm-hmm.
They have been normalized over the past year.
I think legitimized is more correct.
Yeah, both. Either one. I would use both words. And that is what, as we see now, I think has truly emboldened them, has truly given them the courage to muster up and say, I can go out in public and I can carry my swastika flag and not much terrible is going to happen to me. Maybe not anything bad is going to happen to me.
Mm.
Maybe other people are going to be like, you know, hey, dig the guy with the swastika flag. He's got something going on. Yeah.
He's sexy.
That's another thing. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
And that that accept that that lack of pushback
mm-hmm.
that should have been there.
Mm-hmm.
It should we should have been saying, "Fuck no! Don't have fucking Nazis on your TV show. Don't interview these people. Don't give them this sense that they have an equal voice as somebody from Black Lives Matter." And we need to have both of them on so we can have, you know, fair and balanced.
Who's we here? Because you keep saying we.
The news, the media.
Okay. But also the White House.
Well, also the White House.
Okay.
Obviously the White House.
Well, it's important to identify who we is.
Yeah. I hold the media very culpable for all of this too.
Well, you could argue the media gave us Trump too.
Yeah. And I mean, this is the same media who keeps inviting Kellyanne Conway
mm-hmm.
to talk, even though she has a well-established history of just bullshitting and lying.
Complete divorcement from
keeps,
the truth.
I know, and yet they keep inviting her back.
Because she gets ratings.
Yes. And you know what else gets ratings? Nazis.
Nazis are sexy.
So, that is the other part of why I think that this, if this is a swing back to saying, no, we don't want to fucking see Nazis. Nazis are awful. Nazis should be shamed and not given equal speaking time on news shows. That would be a good thing, a good swing back to some sense of normalcy here.
It would be insane to argue against that. Obviously, I've been in total agreement. My concern is we may have got past the point of no return where people are not going to tell the media. I mean, what do you do to prevent that? If the media is not going to do it themselves, if CNN's going to continue to have Kellyanne Conway, she's going to have David Duke and whoever the fuck else are going to have on, what do you do? But this is my point is, yeah, you can say, everyone's angry about this. What are we going to do? Because you know, you have to fucking stop giving them ratings.
Yeah.
Who's going to do something. That?
I don't know.
But do you see my point?
I know.
It's a really fucking scary time because we are deeply embedded in internet news at this point. It's very, I mean, really look at it logistically. Disconnecting yourself from your phone and not reading the news as a form of protest. Like, how insane does that actually sound? Like, no, I don't want to be informed because I want CNN to not have Kellyanne Conway on. It's a really weird argument.
There are other news sources out there that don't invite Kellyanne Conway.
Right, but we're not protesting them in this hypothetical. We're protesting CNN in this hypothetical. Do you see my point?
Yeah.
I think it's a lot stickier than you're making it sound.
Well, and I don't know. And I guess in some sense I'm hoping for a more
reasoned.
I didn't even have it well defined in my mind how the public outrage might manifest and turn more against Nazis.
I see more violence. I see a lot more violence on the horizon. I see that is my pessimistic worldview after this weekend. I see it getting worse, but I've always seen it getting worse before it's ever going to get better.
All right. So in a lighter note,
Nazis are sexy.
Sexy Nazis.
Film
this
at 11.
Is a thing. No, this is a thing. This is a thing. This is a real thing. So if you've looked at some of the pictures from the protest,
okay,
you will notice.
Oh my God, are there NILFs? Nazi, I'd like to fuck.
Probably not, because almost all of them are guys. And I know you don't have eyes for any other men but me.
Hey, there are DILFs. There are DILFs out there. There's a whole website devoted to sexy dads at Disney World. I've heard. I mean, I don't know. It's not bookmarked or anything.
So, image has been a problem for these guys, for these Nazis. These poor basement-dwelling,
paranoid conspiracy,
paranoid,
racist,
somewhat slovenly peoples, men, white men.
White men.
And image has been a problem. And I'm not making up these words because one of their leaders, I think he runs one of the, not Stormfront, but another.
Daily Storm, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy who runs that.
He's a son of a bitch.
He was telling people, his white male angry people.
His people, by the way, I just as an aside, I you know, gave to the Southern Poverty Law Center, so I get a newsletter from them.
Mm-hmm.
He orchestrated a terror campaign against a Jewish family because they tried to point out he was like manipulating someone for money. And so he has gotten all of his readers to send them like awful fucking shit, like targeting the children in the family. Like, this guy is a world-class scumbag. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, so because the image has been a problem, he is telling his people on, you know, before you come to the protest, dress nicely. And you know, you see the pictures of this and they're wearing polo shirts. They all have similar haircuts. And that was one of his things, like, you know, get your haircut shorter. Have a shirt with a collar with buttons on it. You know, wear pants. Make sure your shirts fit and they're not baggy. And it's like, it's really specific stuff. Like, you know, it should come right to your, you know, just above your bicep. And spelling this all out because
they're
trying to make it look more sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I swear, I am not making this up. He used the words, the term, the phrase... We need to be... The phrase he uses was Chad nationalism. Chad nationalism. That's the look that they want.
Someone named Chad.
You know, Chad is kind of a, you know, preppy sort of...
Right.
So, if you look at the pictures from Charlottesville, you'll see a lot of these Nazis who are trying to look, you know, spiffy.
Like spiffy and Nazis.
Sexy. And
hateful, yeah. And racist.
Not like they, and it's obviously, you know, they're doing this and it's good advice. I mean, I can't argue with it. You know, their ideology is fucked, but their sense of style is spot on. You know, look like you got something going on. Don't look like you just crawled out of your parents' basement. Even though you did.
And if you have to have your mom go buy these clothes, that's fine. Just yes. Do it before you leave the basement.
Yeah. But we want to look like, you know, modern day Nazis, not 90s or aughts or 80s Nazis.
Or
know?
Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
That is funny.
So, yeah. If you look out there, you can find articles about, you know, what he's actually typing. And it is in equal parts hilarious and horrifying.
Right. Speaking of funny, I thought it was very funny that this actually made the alt-right pause and be like, we're not technically the same as that. Have you read any of those? Have you read any of that?
Maybe just a little bit, but it's like, come on, no.
But no,
you guys you are that.
But I was reading one, I forgot the name, because I don't pay attention to them, so I don't remember the names, but like some prominent alt-right blogger, someone who's well-known in that circle, but he's like, are you fucking, like, no joke, he was like, are you fucking kidding me? Do you think I'd ever let myself be photographed with a Nazi flag? Come on, man. My ideology. Look, man. You don't. Those are old. Those are outdated. It's 70-year-old propaganda stuff. Don't. He was just like he was trying to dance around the fact that he totally agreed with what they were saying, but just was just trying to say don't have Nazi shit in your pictures.
Yeah.
And I was trying to find the humor in that, and is, you know,
see, he's kind of in the same, you know, right, boat as the right guy saying dress up. You know,
no, no, I'm agreeing with you.
Dress
saying,
nicely,
yeah.
And don't tone down the Nazi. Just think about maybe not having quite so many swastikas this time.
That was said, by the way, by the guy who runs the Daily Stormer, which is named after Das Stürmer, which was a Nazi tabloid. For the record, I know all about this guy because of 7th SPLC. Did you hear Anonymous took his site down? But now they're saying there might not be Anonymous?
Yes, that's the last I heard.
Anonymous said it might be a publicity stunt by him.
Yes.
But, I mean, GoDaddy's going after him anyway.
Yeah.
They're not going to. Yeah. It's weird.
It's going to be a lot of stupid for a while.
Yeah. So there you go. So if hopefully we didn't lose you. It's been a rough weekend.
Now we're going to go vomit.
I'll edit that out. Or yeah. I won't. It was me vomiting.
It was spontaneous.
It was improvisational.
You don't have to edit it, but please clean it.
You know what? You get that, like, the vomit smell, like, instantly it's makes very you...
sour.
It makes you start to salivate, and then you feel like you're going to throw up. Like, what is it about the smell of vomit that actually makes you vomit? Is, like, does vomit have, like, a like an instinctual, like, receptor in our brain that, like, it must replicate? Like, you vomited, I must vomit. We must all vomit.
Well, see, that would make sense. Because, you know,
yeah, you're right.
If we evolved, like, he ate something bad. Well, oh, I ate it too. I ate it too.
Oh, my God. Anthropologists. Anthropologist 5. We figured out vomit. Buddies in space are amazing. I had nothing to back that up after that.
Oh, yeah. All right. What, we got anything for pop culture besides Game of Thrones? Is that it?
I was introduced, and we introduced you to Not in Front of My Salad, or Right in Front of My Salad.
There's a little, yeah, a little meme there.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It was fun.
Okay. So, you're going to
hate
me for this.
All right.
I got to bring up No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
I was going for a spit take there, but it didn't happen.
No, because I already know what you're going to talk about. A year later, they're finally doing the thing you
nerds wanted. It's been a year. Yeah, it's been a year.
You nerds wanted it.
Since No Man's Sky was released, and they, for one thing, they started... 2 or 3 months ago, an ARG, an alternate reality game.
Wait, augmented reality game?
No, alternate, right? ARGs?
What's the context?
That something happens in real life.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's augmented reality game. Look it up.
I thought it was alternate. Well, anyway. I don't know all the details, but they like...
No, you're right. Alternate reality.
They sent out these... like cassette tape recordings to a bunch of different people, and each one had like something slightly different on one side, and they pieced it together, and it turned out to be related to some other ARG that was already in progress called Winking Titan.
What?
And I don't know what the state of the games of the ARGs are, but it was this like really complicated thing.
Okay.
And then just like a week ago, I guess, they released the new Titan version. I forget what the full
expansion
name is. Yeah, it's not even it's an update. It's not
really an expansion. That's the one that introduced the ability to let people be in the same fucking place.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, you can sort it.
Well, you can like voice chat.
Yeah, you can do a message chat?
Being like, "Hey, some other nerd is nearby. You can talk to them."
Yeah.
That's the extent of it, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much. They like show up as a blue dot. So you can...
Well, really? That's it? So they really don't want to do character models, them. Huh?
You don't see the other characters. You don't see what they're doing. They're just like a blue dot.
Oh my God. So this game, which is like the most legendarily lonely game in the existence of games, manages to let you talk to other players and still be really sad and depressing and lonely. That's amazing.
But more importantly, they have added... like a 30-hour storyline to it, which is one of the big complaints. Is like there's no plot to this. I'm just doing this for no reason. But now there is an actual storyline in the game.
That's weird to go back a year
and
later.
It's like big.
But is it good?
I don't know. I'm just starting to get into it. So. All right.
That's just so strange.
Like, but hey, it's cool, isn't
this
it?
This sandbox that you've been fucking around in for a year? Oh, now there's a point. Way to go.
Yeah.
I'm
excited. I think it's cool. And it's, you know, for anybody who has the game, this is all free. You don't have to, you know, pay for DLC or anything like that.
Well, yeah, because you're just now getting the game that you probably originally bought. I'm sorry, dude. That's like, that's such a burned... opportunity and like burned credit with most of us players. You're a niche and that's cool and I'm glad. I hope it's awesome. I do. Maybe someday I'll end up playing it and I'll be like, I was totally wrong. Well, I was right for the first year.
Yeah.
And then I was wrong.
But yeah, and I honestly still don't have any regrets about it, obviously.
You have spent an inordinate amount of time in a game with no story.
Yeah. And they keep adding things. I mean the last big update was when they added base building where you could, you know, create your own base and put people in there doing research and stuff and
actual like
farming sort of things in it.
Like and, character model people?
Yeah. Huh? Like, you know, really the rudimentary NPC sort of stuff. Right. But, you know, they're there. They're working for you in your base.
I looked up how to, I found an NPC I really liked in Skyrim and I looked up how to rewrite her coding so you could marry her in the game.
That doesn't sound right, man.
I don't care. It was so funny to me to do that because it was the most vapid, like, pointless thing to do. Because, like, the character, it's an NPC character with, like, three lines. And that doesn't really change when you do that.
So that's what turned you on? Like, she's no, it was, nice and quiet.
Nothing sexy about it. It was just hilarious to me to have this weird NPC that had no, not even, like, silly video game romance. Like, there was nothing between my character and her. So marrying her was the funniest thing to me. But I had, like, you could look up and you could, like,
It was like Valerian.
I know that now. So if Valerian was... So, yes. Several years before Valerian was made, and in a fantasy setting instead of a sci-fi setting, I created the exact amount of chemistry that the two main characters had in Valerian in Skyrim by taking a barely programmed non-player character... reprogramming her to do something she wasn't meant to do and had her marry my character who doesn't talk, who has no personality whatsoever, and they lived happily ever after.
Oh my god. That was perfect.
Fucking Skyrim. I hate Zelda.
The new one?
I fucking hate that game.
So you're talking about the new version of it.
Breath of the Halitosis. Yeah, it's so fucking boring. Why do people love this game?
It's like open world sort of stuff?
It's the most boring. It's nothing. It's very well done puzzles. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. Like, I'm playing it, and there's these, like, dungeons hidden everywhere. There's 120 of these dungeons, and they're, like, interesting puzzles for, like, 3 minutes.
But are they all, like, just kind of variations on a theme?
They're variations on a couple themes. Uh-huh. So it's like, this one's a balance one. And, oh, you have magic magnetic powers. I wonder if you're going to need them in this with all these metal things around. And then it's Ben and I were talking about it because Ben visited a couple weekends ago, and he loves it. And I get it. People love Zelda. Mm-hmm. But, like, I played Ocarina of Time, and that there was a point to that game. Like, this game, it's like, here is... A Witcher 3 sized world. Like a fucking huge world. Mm-hmm. We're not giving you a map. You got to fuck around for hours just to figure out what the area you're in looks like. Story? Yeah. Here's a couple sentences. Now go to these four fucking corners of the world and that's all we're telling you. There's horses, but I haven't bothered to find one. Because it's actually more entertaining to me to just run around and fight. And your weapons break after like 6 hits. So I'm constantly
I remember hearing something about that. That sounds really annoying.
It is. This is why the people who played New Vegas,
Fallout New Vegas. So can you fix them after that? Or no, they're just gone?
It's fucking done. It gives you a heads up like, yo, your weapon's about to break. So you should probably throw it and get the double damage before it breaks. Like, that's how I read the game. Like, the game is so fucking formulaic. The cooking is so, okay, probably...
thank you, because I would go nuts for that, because I'm the guy... that likes to hoard things in these games.
You wouldn't be able to.
I'd be like,
no. If it's very, very tight inventory management.
Oh, no. That would kill me. I would be clawing my eyes out. Be like, no, but I don't want to use my potions now. I want to save them because I might really need them later.
So that would be weird for... I almost want you to play this. So the potion element is the cooking.
Okay.
That's the whole thing about the game. Surely you've heard about the cooking element.
I haven't.
So in this game, you have an... Anything, any food type you can get, you can combine into dishes that do health restoration and status effects. Mm-hmm. And you could just spend spend dozens of hours just experimenting. And then there's that element, and then there's potion making. Mm-hmm. So you get all these parts from monsters you fight, and then critters, like lizards and shit. And you combine them, and then you get the status effect potions. Mm-hmm. You can't mix and match food and potions, but you can make separate ones. And then, so you're just walking around with like, I look like some weird mutant Julia Childs in this fucking game. Cause I am running around tiny little, you know, elf guy with like enough food for a fucking army in Game of Thrones. Like, I have 6 course meals somewhere in my pockets or something. And it's like a leg of lamb with some fucking potatoes and some leeks and some mushrooms. And I'm looking at this, it's like, this would heal 15 of me. Like, I don't want to use this because it's such a waste, but I just started throwing shit together and then it was like, I hit a good combination and got this crazy. It's so asinine.
You should, you know, maybe open your own restaurant then. in the game. I assume you can.
Not that I know of, but...
apparently food costs are, like, nothing.
But you just go out and kill it yourself.
Yeah.
Well, Smike, when you're running to you the other Cisco, side...
Robert or Cisco when you can just go and kill a lizard.
Wegmans eat your heart out, literally. No, it would be really funny to watch you play because you would be hoarding the best weapons, but then you would break them to get the next best weapon. So it would never stop for you. It would be like even worse than Diablo.
Oh my God.
No, I get it. Maybe just the child in me is dead. Maybe that's just what it is. Because like when I sit down in a game, I want there to be a fucking point. And I do not want my hand held. But I know it is possible to make an open world game that has a strong story. I played The Witcher 3 and Horizon Zero Dawn. I know for a fact it's very, very doable.
So you should probably get Nier next, right?
I guess. I heard the comparisons. I don't believe them, but...
It sounds like it'd be a perfect game for you, though.
Yeah, but anytime someone says that, it's usually not.
It gets favorable comparisons to Horizon.
By who?
A lot of people.
All right, maybe I'll check it out. Is it a PS4 game?
I know it's on Steam and it might be Xbox.
No, lost interest.
No, it might be PS4 also. I don't know. Steam. Everything's on Steam now.
Yeah, I know. I have this crazy monitor that I never use for work only. Jeez. Huh? I'm going to go back to Witcher 3. Horizon was such a good game, it like ruined going back to Witcher 3 for me.
All right, we'll check out Nier. I've heard nothing but amazing things.
I know, I've read that too. I'll read up on it. Also, I do not understand why Zelda and Horizon Zero Dawn have the exact same plot. It is the weirdest thing. And that should not... If you've played Horizon Zero Dawn, you should be thinking, wait, so that takes place in the future, and, like, humanity's fallen, and, like, you're fighting robots with a bow and arrow, mm-hmm. and you have to hunt things to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk about Zelda, and it's in the future, and humanity's fallen, and robots took over and kicked everyone's asses, and then are laying around broken, just like in Horizon Zero Dawn, and, oh, you need to hunt things to make food and potions. Wait a minute.
See, that sounds cool, but yeah, you're saying they don't have the story to back that up.
You're literally just doing that. That's, to me, most of the game is cooking. Like, Smike, it's so boring, I get excited when I find a new fucking herb. I'm like, ooh, Hyrulean mushrooms. Oh, sun shrooms. These will add some heat to my dishes. A chili pepper. Oh, Link, stop. You're exciting me too much. One of the most thrilling moments in the game, I'm not fucking making this up. Anyone who's played Zelda, I challenge you to say that I'm making this up. One of the most thrilling, stressful moments of that game was running around with a fucking torch trying to light lamps before it rained. The rain was random.
What?
It just has fucking random weather patterns. So I was like, it's going to rain. I need to do this for a stupid quest.
So it's just kind of luck-based on
that? Yeah.
All right.
Fucking game. A lamp. A torch and lamps. That was the most exciting thing.
Well, I'm sorry.
Scratching my beard.
Yeah, that's your angsty, angry.
It's my emo scratch.
It's your emo scratch.
So yeah, I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do with the Switch.
You loved it a while ago.
But when I was trapped in Australia on like 30-hour flights, it was great. I just need a better game.
Well, good luck.
Thanks.
Going way back, we're still watching Durarara, which is on Netflix and probably Hulu.
The Headless Horseman texting story.
Yes. I probably should have watched it years ago.
It's been around for a while?
It's been around for a little while.
I'm out of touch with the animes.
Yeah, but I highly recommend it. Durarara.
I mean, really, just to say you're watching it. Yeah. Hey, what'd you do last night? I watched some Durarara. No, you heard me right. Durarara. What? Durarara.
But yeah, you've got the headless horseman chick
motif
on a motorcycle, which is really a
demon
horse
steed.
Demon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's demon steed.
Sorry. Demon steed. Okay,
that's how you say horse demon. Everyone knows that.
And yeah, it's she's actually pretty cool. And she wears a helmet. Mostly wears a motorcycle helmet, so you know people see that she's headless.
Oh my God, she has no head.
Yeah, But if you ask nicely, she'll show you.
And she can hear. Like,
oh, yeah, okay.
Does she like just have like a spurting neck wound?
No, when she takes the helmet off, it's like smoke coming out of her neck.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because there's the shadow smoke thing.
And she wears clothes that are basically just like some sort of shadow thing that she makes up.
Like Bayonetta?
Yeah, kind of.
That was hair, right?
Yeah, that was hair. But yes, she can conjure things out of shadow, like a giant scythe, or she gave this one guy gloves that she made, and she has like a wallet that's a shadow wallet that she like actually keeps money and things in.
Wait. So she has this mystical shadow energy, and she does she did the same thing that like people in middle school did with duct tape.
Yeah.
She makes a fucking wallet out of it.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
What?
You were not selling the show very well.
What? She's got to keep her money in something.
Get a real wallet.
Why? She can make a shadow one. She doesn't need a real one.
That's probably a finite amount of super special energy.
Come on. How much? I don't see any evidence of that. And besides, how much more cool is a shadow wallet than like leather?
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like she's fucking trying too hard. It's like, hey, da-rah-rah-rah, get a real wallet, dumbass.
But the part that I love is that she can hear and see things, even though she doesn't have a head. And that she's not really sure how that works. But she can see. She can't talk, though. She doesn't have she can't make sounds with her. She doesn't have voice. So she carries around a cell phone. Not to make phone calls. Although she can, you know, receive calls, I guess. But she can't talk. She texts. She texts everyone. And when she's, like, standing next to somebody and talking, she'll just, like, type stuff out on the text and
show them the phone. So she won't even text them because she doesn't know anyone's number. She'll just hold up.
Yeah, yeah. She'll just, like, and hold up.
So she's like Stephen Hawking-ing.
Yeah, kind of.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's got a lot of interesting characters in it. The story, it's like a ridiculous amount of characters in it. And when we watch the first episode, I'm not really giving anything away here. They keep introducing all of these different characters, and like, oh my god, how am I gonna possibly keep track of all these different people? And because they're all, you know, off doing their own thing, but they do start tying them, each of them, together, and weaving their characters and their backstories.
Well, we determined it was a long form.
Yeah,
like the structure,
and that's the whole theme of the show, is that all of these different characters are out doing their whatever their things are. Are related, and they become kind of interwoven in each other's lives.
It's all incest.
No.
They're all related.
But yeah, it's a cool show. Definitely recommend it for any anime people out there who might have... You've probably already seen it, but there.
There's a lot of anime.
I'm watching it, like it.
Just sell it, Mike. Sell it, put it out there.
Durabara.
Exactly.
And it doesn't take itself too seriously. There's a lot of funny moments in it.
I would hope so.
I mean, just having like somebody like a headless motorcycle rider who has to text people, that I think that's pretty funny.
So it's Ghost Rider?
Yeah, but can't talk, no, which would be perfect.
Ghost Writer.
Oh.
Did you ever watch that? No, you were too old.
Yeah, I was too old.
Yeah.
But I was imagining Ghost Rider with Nicolas Cage, but he couldn't talk.
Wow, would that make it better or worse?
I think it would make it better.
But if he, like, couldn't talk but could still piss flames. Because I'm pretty sure that happened in one of the movies.
Oh, yeah. It happened. Ow.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, hey. URS... no, wait. Oh, my God.
Who am I? Who are you?
Oh, you are...
Michael Carrasi. And you are... Michael Smith. And we are buddies in space. Man, Sky. Spaceman Sky.